Mm-hmm. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to understand your truth that has not been previously understood, though looked at and tempted, and people attempted and tried to understand the great thrilling message of your appearing, which we know to be your presence, because how could you appear this time without, or actually appear without being present? Because the prophet said it was just like it was in the days of Moses, where you not only appeared in signs and wonders, which you have been appearing in all through the ages, but now personally. And we know that the camera, eye of the camera, which man cannot see the pillar of fire, that camera was able to take. So we praise you, Lord, that we're on 100% sure foundation, and we don't need to wonder about it, though we never try to be authoritative. The days of wondering and the days of trying to juggle together the pieces of the jigsaw's over, and the picture's very clear, for Christ stands in full view, completely unveiled, with the bride going from glory to glory, soon to be transformed into his own glory and have a body likened unto the body of his own glory. Surely, Lord, we are covered with clouds of glory today if we only recognize it, if we'd only lift up our eyes and see what is before us, Lord. We're just too much like Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, who didn't realize the mountains were just full of the messengers, the angels, the power of God, that which was for them, greater than that which was against them. So, Lord, no matter what is coming, we know that no matter what the enemy does, the standard has already been raised up, and the flood has already been averted in your mind, and therefore, by your power, it will certainly be averted. So, Lord, this morning we have confidence in you, and certainly we ought to, because faith is certainly a confidence. And we know that confidence is there because of your love, and you proved your love. Even as the Scripture said, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here before we knew nothing about your appearing, you appeared in our midst and brought forth this the wonderment of your own self, Lord. And we appreciate that so much, because now we know. And in this knowledge, Lord, we recognize that this is going to take us right into the resurrection, and on up to the wedding supper. We appreciate that so much. Now, Lord, let us never forget that which goes with it, which is a godly life, a life of cleanness, righteousness, faith, Lord, loving each other even as we love you, and walking in that light as you're in the light, having fellowship one another, the blood cleansing us, being real true servants. Help us to be that for your glory, Lord, and our eternal great good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, have any of you got the little... Okay, you can hand those out, and what we're into now is page 16 of the Events Made Clear by Prophecy, and we're down to paragraph 90, and before we go into that, we just make a note. Brother Branham has been previously talking about Micaiah, who could not prophesy concerning what Jehoshaphat desired, until he checked with God to know that he was in line with the former prophet Elijah, who had prophesied that the dogs would lick the blood of Ahab as even as Jezebel. And Micaiah knew the way of God, which the other prophets did not know. And he knew that every now and then old Ahab would get lined up with the Lord and walk softly before him, as we found in 1 Kings 21 to 25 to 29. And God said, see how softly Ahab walks before me. And he said, therefore I will put this thing off so that this will not be the hour, but the hour is coming later on. Now you notice that that's the way prophets do. Now if there's a real genuine prophet, he'll be that kind of a person. He'll have to check with the word of the other prophets to see that this is that word of the hour, that he himself is a correct person, his ministry's correct, and there's only one thing he can do, and that's to go to God about it, through the Word. Now, many people don't understand, and you know I've always made a strong point of this. Brother Branham said when he was working with the opening of the seals, he said those seven messengers, which were theophanies of the Holy Spirit, would come into the room and would illuminate him as to what was the content of the various seals. And he said, I'd go right away to my Bible and my concordance. Now, some people say, well, hey, if you're such a big shot and such a great prophet, well, why would you do it? Well, here's your answer. He had to do it being a prophet. Now, you know, come on. You're not going to tell certain birds to eat seeds when they eat worms. Well, say that bird's going to eat worms because he's a worm eater. And thank God he is a worm eater. because that gets rid of the worms. See? Now, if he was a seed eater, the worms would just multiply. Well, nature, you see, looked at, can tell what's in the realm of the spiritual if you apply it correctly. Well, now, here's a good old Micaiah. And he said, well, now, he said, I'm not going to even inquire of God, because I've been preaching judgment because Elijah had to preach judgment. I got to find out if this is so. So he went before the Lord, and he had a vision. And the vision was, yes, this is the time the dogs will lick the blood of Ahab. So you see, he prophesied, and it's the same as when Daniel searched the scrolls. And Daniel went before the Lord, and he said, Jeremiah said certain things, and I better check with Jeremiah. And of course, I can't check with Jeremiah because he's not around to be checked with. I read the scrolls, I better get with God. And he checked with God, and God showed him through angelic messenger what was very, very vital. So Brother Branham said it was Ahab's time. Now notice the time that he places us in. And sometimes it gets a little bit warm in here. Because I'm standing up, maybe I'll relax myself. Okay. That's okay. He says here, brother, sister, this is the hour and the time of the calling out of Babylon. Now, God's not calling out Babylon to come out of something. He's calling the bride to come out of Babylon. Now, if it's a time of calling out of Babylon, then you just don't take 18 and 4 of Revelation and just say, well, I come out of her, my people. That's not it. You got to finish it where it says, lest you be partakers of her sins, of her destruction. So who is he talking to? Has he called a nation out of a nation? He's calling a bride out of a church, right? Okay, the evening lights are here. Walk in the light while it's light. Notice, the believer saw the word manifested and believed it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. there were a bunch of people in Israel, when they saw the word manifested, that Elijah had prophesied, and Micaiah put it in its right time slot. Amen. You follow what I'm saying now? Word of the hour. The right time slot. When judgment came, that word was completely fulfilled too late. Now we're preaching appearing through the vehicle of the presence, which Brother Branham did not call Jesus Christ a man. He called that the body. He said if he's the same yesterday and today and forever, he will now do in the form of the Holy Spirit, veiled in a pillar of fire, what he did in the flesh. And when Paul saw the pillar of fire in the road and their light struck him down, he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus. Show me your nail prints. He never said that. Everybody's so confused with the man in the pillar of fire, it isn't even funny. And you can't tell them. Oh, no, I get word around the country. Don't worry. My friends have large ears, and I got a big mouth. So I just spill the beans. They talk kind of muffled about it. And they put in their prayers. Of course I'm wrong. Of course I'm right. Amen. Don't give me that nonsense about Christ appearing. He's somewhere off in the blue heavens. In person. What God could not do. By letting you and me see what was forbidden to be seen, he had a camera take it. We got a good one on this in just a minute. You wait. Well, maybe quite a few minutes. If not the day, next day. I don't care when we get finished, you know, just talk about the Lord and his the one that he sent is the same as talking about him, because he said, he that receives one for I send receives me, and then he that receives me, that receives the one that sent me. So that's why the Bible said in that day, you know, that I'm in the Father, you and me, and I and you. Well, if you get that down pat, you'll understand perfectly clear. If he said, you're in me, and I'm in you, that's great. That's fine. He said, you've been put into the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ as a member. And he said, now, in me, that's a certain quality that makes you know that you're not going to go wrong. There's no way. In that day, because of the headship right now, he's returned to headship. People, they don't believe Brother Branham. He said he's returned to headship. Then there must have been a time he wasn't head. See? And where's all these preachers ordained to see you through? So, hey, you come and listen to me, I got it. Fap, I'm no more ordained to see you through than nothing. If you could sit here under my ministry and make sure you make it, I would be duty bound to let everybody in this world know, come and sit under Lee Bale. You got a sure ticket to heaven. Hogwash. It means I'm commanded to give you what's right.
You ain't got nothing to do with it. I got nothing to do with it. But I got a command. The onus falls on me to feed you and to help you. Not you come and support me and say, Brother Vail, care. I'd like to be carried around the pillow like the other day, my wife. We were looking at the newspaper. You don't mind me letting my hair down, just talking. Kind of silly. But we were just looking at the newspaper. We found these guys that had won $42 million. Wowee. Another guy, he was making $2 million a year. And I said, boy, she said, I've never wanted money. Wouldn't it be nice to just have it to $1 million or so, or as we, I could just really take it easy? I said, kid, we got enough to take it easy. Let's trust in the Lord. Take it easy, you know, without worrying about that part. I can understand her. I said, well, I got sympathy for you, but money wouldn't do it anyway. We'd be so busy, you know, counting our money and trying to help people, we wouldn't get any rest anyway, so fool you on the money. No, we're all doing fine. The evening light has come. He said, notice believers saw the word manifest and believed, but those saw it too late. And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Now he speaks in signs to get your attention. He could give you a vision. That's his voice. Remember what the Bible said about Samuel. He heard only, but the Bible said he saw a vision. He saw nothing, he heard. It was a vision, so therefore you could have a vision and thereby hear. In other words, he's telling you understanding comes from God. This is the hour of understanding. My people perish for lack of understanding, for lack of knowledge. It was John who came to give them a right understanding of what their hour was. So, all right. My sheep know my voice, my word, my signs of the age. Not another age, the age. Always, he said, looking back, looking forward, don't know what's going on. Now, that applies to you and me. And he said, let's go to our text. That's why I stopped here last time, and I don't want to just go carry you too far back before we get underway again. Because I'm going to get away. I'm going to get away. I want to emphasize on that prayer line a lot. Let's go back to the text we now have under consideration here for a minute. Well, it'll happen again like it always did as usual. All right, what's it been talking about? How you got your example set in Scripture for the prophetic hour that comes upon the people. How you know. See? So there's no mistake. It's been prophesied and it's got to come to pass. Alright, God sent his prophet John, as his word had said, promised in Malachi 3. Now that's thus said the Lord, going to be a messenger before my face. So they'd recognize the face. Behold, I send a messenger before my face to prepare the way. John witnessed the same thing. Now you notice that John gave to the people the word of God pertaining to himself. And people always get offended. Of course, if it's they don't get offended. I'm big shot. Oh, God made me great servant. I'm a priest. Fact. You was a mess. But it is strange. Oh, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Prophet comes on the scene. Who do you think he is? You know, there's something wrong with people like that, brother. Said there's something wrong. Now, I'm deliberately talking this way to let you know there's something wrong. And it's not just ignorance. It's a false pride. It's the pride of the devil. And don't tell me it's not, because I've been all through this. They all want to, I got some too. Look at me, I got, I don't care what you got, you ain't no prophet.
Amen.
You'd exactly like that little record that we got from the Marcondes one time to play. You don't have to be Jewish. This guy's a multimillionaire Jew. He finally strikes big time. So what you do, buys a yacht. And what you do when he buys a yacht? Well, he buys a cap and suit to go with the yacht. So he comes before his parents. He said, Mama, look, Papa. He said, I have a new cap and suit. This boat belongs to me. And he said, I'm really a captain.
His father said, son, he said, you may dress like a captain, you look like a captain, but to the captain, you ain't no captain.
That's the way you are in front of a prophet. That goes for everybody in this building. Everybody out there in the world. You might look like a prophet, you may think you got something but alongside of a prophet, you ain't no prophet. And this is where Israel missed the boat. They couldn't stand still under authority. See, they still don't understand authority. They say, we'll believe the prophets, will they? 144,000 out of 6 million or 15 million they got. That's a very small number. Even those wouldn't believe except they're ordained to it. See? Behold, I send my messenger before my face. That's God speaking, and John reiterates it. John stands with it. Isn't it strange now that people can go back, especially the Gentiles, not the Jews, and they'll accept that? Oh, wasn't that great? Well, how come it wasn't great back there? Now, that sets a pattern. If it should be that this repeats, it won't be great now. Who's this guy, William Branham? Well, who is he? Good question. Well, pertaining to the flesh, nothing to it. But pertaining to the Spirit, a man mighty before God, like John the Baptist introducing Messiah so the bride will know her mate, the revealed word. And that's not just this Bible revealed. That's the one who wrote the Bible, the Logos. See? Seen through the eyes of the prophet. Now, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall go before my face. Okay. Remember, Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians. That's the place we'll better go to. And we'll see something in here, which we're very familiar. I took a series on this. Preached about 3 sermons in a row using the material in different ways. In the 3rd chapter, it says in the verse 15, verse, even to this day when Moses has read, the veil is upon their heart. Now remember, you got to understand with your heart. This is talking about down in the soul, a revelation. See? Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, what? The heart. And the heart says, okay, I'm ready to believe. The veil shall be taken away. Now that means you want to learn. And a little child is a learner. Disciples learner. Except these little children. Like a little sponge. Picking up the knowledge. Now, nevertheless, when the heart will turn to the Lord, the veil be taken away. You receive the revelation. Now, what is the veil? Here's where the prophet comes in. Creeds and dogmas. That's what's wrong with theology. That's why the theological system and the theologians are not of God. They're men. And they're cursed. Because men cannot hear the word of God with the understanding of the theologian. You've got to debunk your mind. Because a bunch of bunk. What you've learned. One word off is no longer the word of God. A lot of people say, I'll hold it. I know right away they say, hold you a minute, one word off. Now, I'll hold it. This one little part, surely, for one little part, that whole bunch of condemnation wouldn't come. Yes, for one little word, it will come. Providing it changes the meaning, and the meaning is always changed. Now, a double negative does not change the meaning. So you could add a word. But Satan said, you shall not surely die. If he just said, don't think you won't die if you do this. That would have been true. Because that was a true interpretation. The question would have been there, insinuating and knowing, you will die if you do this. But he said, oh, no, surely not. And that's where theology has always come from. Theology in the eyes of God is a man interpreting the word apart from divine revelation, which has been authenticated, the man himself, first of all, being authenticated. Remember, God was the first prophet in the garden. He authenticated himself. The serpent came by. He wasn't authenticated. Too late they found out who he was. All right. Now the Spirit is, the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom. Now watch. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Yourself. When you look in the Word, who do you see? You're supposed to see Christ in every word. Okay. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, the last change is going to be immortality. Let's go to Philippians here. We'll just check it out for a second. I think I can find it without having put it in my notes. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now he's going to explain what resurrection he's talking about, what the resurrection of Christ is. If by any means I may attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead. That's what he's called in Revelation. The firstborn from amongst the dead. The first one to come back with a truly glorified body from amongst the dead. And he led the rest out at that time, and the others stayed there. So the first resurrection is the out-resurrection. There's no such thing as a general resurrection, per se, where everybody comes up. First of all, the first resurrection, where only the bride comes up, last age had theirs, our age is going to get it. Next will be a resurrection, the second, which is the general, the unbeliever, the make-believer, and the poor virgin, foolish virgin. They'll be separated. Now, if any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, the out-resurrection, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. What does perfect mean? Paul was as perfect as any man would get in his state and standing before God. If any man could have stood right there and made the resurrection, Paul could have done it if it was by merit. What does the word perfect mean? It's not finished. Paul himself said, I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to die. But he said to Timothy, you carry on and finish your course. And every one of these ancient servants of God in the first age, they said, carry on, until there comes a time when the last person will not die. What's he going to come into? He's going to come into down here. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the coming. We're looking for him. But we're looking for the appearing also, which is in there too. Because you can't have one without the other. Pardon me. Now, in his coming and that appearing, and that great one coming, who shall change our vile body, that it be made fashioned like unto the body of his glory, according to the working whereby is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, that's in 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning at verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards they that are Christ at his appearing. His presence. Brother, sister, we're going to get our glorified bodies before we rise in the air. So this is his presence he's talking about. What presence? In the form of the pillar of fire. The Holy Ghost. That Paul recognized. On the road to Damascus. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus. Henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. How do you know him? Back to the Spirit. Back to the pillar of fire. Why can't people understand that? People say they believe this message. What do you believe about it? Old creeds and dogmas. Hogwash. Well, he said, that's not my thinking. That's the trouble. It's not your thinking. Get it out of your cotton picking skulls. Get God's thinking in your skulls. Brother Branham told me personally, all my thoughts are God. Then listen to what the prophet said. You won't do any much wrong listening to me, too. Because I'm not telling you some bunch of junk. I got to have my mind renewed or I'm lost. The message of this hour is the renewal of the mind. See? Now you're going from glory to glory, looking at the face of Jesus. And then he better be here to be seen. How are you going to see that face? Which is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Unless he's presented to you. Unveiled. And Brother Branham said that's exactly what happened. In the hand of the skillful sword bearer. That prophet rent the veil. There's too many veils. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. And if I'm one, I'll just get in the way of another veil. But I've been honest with you, so I can't see one reason anyone should doubt. Now it says here, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, to God even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. That tells you God's going to put all rule and authority and power in the feet of Jesus. The last thing to be subdued for you and me is going to be our bodies. Then, brother, sister, the last thing to be subdued, now listen carefully, and we're body, soul, and spirit, then the soul and the spirit have already been subdued. And the word subdued doesn't mean brought into line like a raging lion. It means proper order. The Lord descended with a shout, and that's where the word subdue comes from. With the military order, with the message. He came with the message and put our souls and our spirits in divine order. That's church order. You say, Brother Vail, don't Brother Vail me. I got the answer for you. You say, what about denominations? They're lodges, Brother Branham said. You want lodge order, you want church order. Church order is not just simply putting tongues and things in a room. Remember my message I preached in Brother Branham's discernment? 15 points in Columbus, I thought I'd get a repercussion last around the world and blow me from the smithereens. Nobody raised up. I said one thing, well, praise God, nobody understood except a few of us. But they'd have blasted my head off. Yet I took every single point from Brother Branham, not one of my own. Absolutely. See, God's putting a bride in order. How do you know it's God? He's got a messenger. Because we cannot hear God. We cannot see God. Everybody wants to think he can. So that would put him in the prophetic class. Then everybody's a prophet. They got scowling at Moses. They said, listen here, we've done a bit of prophesying. We can get to that word just like you can, maybe even better. He said, would God all the children were prophets. Get off my back. Everybody a prophet? Be my guest. To the prophets, you ain't no prophets. Amen. I'm a broken down hack of a teacher. I don't claim no prophecy. No way, shape, and form. I don't disclaim the spirit of prophecy because that's what the prophet said. If I disclaimed that, then where would I be standing? So you see here, I send my messenger before my face. How far before? 6 months. How far before? Little tiny bit of preaching. How far before? Right down through it, 3 feet. How far before? 6 inches apart, maybe, foot, whatever it took, and then in his arms and baptized him. Where is the face of Jesus at that time? John was right before it, as he bent over the water. Now, if that repeats, and Malachi 3 is not entirely Malachi 4, and Malachi 4 is not entirely Malachi 3, there's two. One turns the heart to the fathers, to the children, and one turns the children to the fathers. At two different periods. Because what wasn't fulfilled has to be fulfilled. You see? Okay. Turning the hearts. All right. Now you read in here. John witnessed the same thing. We find also in Isaiah 40:3. Isaiah said, there will be a voice of a prophet, one crying, goodness, prepare the way of the Lord. Before his face, see all these, and preparing the way of the Lord, that's very good if you understand this thought. Here was Jesus prepared his way in the physical by a physical man. And what about his coming? It'll take a physical man to bring on a physical God, a physical Christ. And it does. Because without the shout, the prophet bringing the message, which are the words of Jesus Christ. We never make the rapture. All right. Prepare the way of the Lord. That's Luke 1:17. We don't have to read it. And notice carefully and quickly the scripture. Let me go to Luke 7:1:17. Come on. We can never read that too much. I tell you, the Bible is so full of goodies. You could take one scripture here and belabor the thing for the next 15 years, think you got and find it. Hey, you only got the first two or three words in it. Because every word of God is eternal with the full potential of God behind it. What does that mean then for the Bible? It means this book will never be exhausted. 17th verse, and he shall go before the Lord God of Israel, and the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Well, that tells you what it is to prepare the way. It's the same as when Eliezer went to prepare the way, that Rebekah could come to Isaac. And remember, she had to come to him to meet him, of where he was stationed. So the bride is going to meet the groom in the air where he is stationed, up above the clouds. So you see, there had to be a messenger to prepare the way. and the preparation of the way was. Well, you, that, there's this wonderful man, you know, you really belong to him, I'm sure, by kindred, by relationship. But I want to know if you're the right one. And there's certain things here that are going to be presented to you to indicate if you are the right one. Boy, she was the right one in a hurry. You know what? I don't believe a bride fools around and fools around, finally straggles in. Well, I think maybe he's right, I'll come in. I don't think they look around and dreams it, well, you know. Oh, listen, they're red hot, brother, sister. They're red hot like the disciples. Will you go away? Where we go? They didn't give Jesus a great big song and dance. Any more than he gave him a big song and dance. They said, where would we go? We got a conviction. The thief on the cross had a conviction. A dying thief trusting in a dying Savior. What more did you want? Well, look. When Brother Branham died, how many left? Who cares? I'm not interested. Look how the ranks were swollen by people who came in without even hearing us. They say, that's Bible. I like that. I've been looking for something like this. That rings a bell in my soul. How many of you people came in after he died? There's your count right there. See, that shows a reality right there. Because Jesus said so. He said they're going to believe because of your testimony and the testimony of those that come in after you. Witness to me until the very end time. So therefore, we see this man on the scene getting the people ready, which means he's simply telling them about the hour they're living in, the events that are transpiring, what is going on. They believe it, and they understand. The understanding is opened. John the Baptist opened their understanding. Jesus opened their understanding. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's got a messenger that gives us the word that opens our understanding. Truth, the Spirit of God is in us, which is the witness of whether you're righteous or not. You say, well, I believe in fruit. I do too. But I can't trust your fruit in my fruit because we don't know the motivation. See? I believe in love. I do too, but I can't trust your love in my love until I know it's word-based. And you think the phone calls aren't coming in on that one? They're all good too. I'm not getting blasted on that one, which I thought that would blast me clean out of the parrot's nest because they think I'm in a parrot's nest instead of an eagle nest. But they see what we're trying to say in this pulpit here. If it's not word-based, and in the framework of the word, what do you got? You haven't got God. That's where you left it. That's where I leave it. Come on, let's understand. Now, let's not get scared, brother, sister, because we're not going to get booted out. We're not going to go out. We're just learning how to be skilled workers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. No one's here to get hurt. Here to get help. And we're getting help, because this is how help comes. When you receive the Word of God, you become the Word of God in your flesh. And the life in that Word begins to form physical cells around it that are immortal. How do you know at this point you haven't reached a stage where there's just a little bit of immortality working right now? I don't believe there's one person here who wouldn't like to die and get out of here. But there's not one person here has got an understanding he will die. Like a doctor said to me about in Tucson, he said, are you afraid that you'll die? I said, no, I'm afraid I won't die. That shook the spots off of his PhDs and all that other kind of cruddy accumulated. So I want to get out of here. And I said, I don't have any fear. He was puzzled. I said, well, I could give you a little testimony. So I told him a bit about Brother Branham. Then he wanted me to see a psychiatrist, talk to the bugs in me. Said to my wife, shouldn't your husband see a psychiatrist? She said, no, she's a psychiatric nurse. That's why I married her, to take care of it. You want to write you a lot of mental comfort. So she gives it to me. She said, no. She knew more than he did. Now, I've had these bugs in me. It took her something to kill them. I let a psychiatrist kill them by just talking. I let any psychiatrist talk, and he could have more than 25. Now, he'd have $200 an hour for the first hour at least. But I'd know if he's talking or doing the bugs any good. So much for your stupid psychiatrist, psychologist. So much for stupid diagnosis, too. That's why the church couldn't stand Brother Branham. They're a bunch of sorcerers. That's where they're druggists. The word druggist is sorcerer. Told you that. Taught you that 2 or 3 years ago. If not 4. Whatever it was. Wrong prescription. Too much poison. I'm going to tell you something. We don't need poison. We've been thoroughly poisoned. We need antidotes. Amen. Brother Brandon said, he said the penicillin kills the rats, but it doesn't plug the rat holes. You know, speaking figuratively. Been poisoned. We need the rat holes plugged up now. And that's the opening of the seals that plugged up all the holes. Yes, sir, Paul was perfect before God, but his time hadn't run out. This age runs out. And it's a face-to-face. They didn't know him back there, and they saw him face-to-face. Notice the crowd didn't come face-to-face. John lay over the body there, and his face went down. John's face was right near his face. Those eyes looking up. A heart pouring forth the word of Almighty God. Suffer to be so now. I'm going to fulfill all righteousness. John the Baptist, knowing those things, turned his focus and said, this was the one. And he's going to judge you. Send him forth as the great judge. Fans in his hand, thoroughly purges for gather wheat in the garner. Burn up the chaff? Sure. What do you think of this one? He's the one that's going to put the finger on and say, this is the one that John baptized. He's here in the form of the Holy Ghost, and he's the great judge. There he is right there. Oh, you can't believe this message and not get your inspiration from it, brother, sister. Let's face it. Goodness me gracious. How could I eat wheat germ for two big dishes of wheat germ, nothing in my stomach at all, and then get, and that's all I eat, and then get my energy from a bunch of rice? Hogwash. I've got to have the rice. If I'm eating this word, that's where my energy comes from. Right. Reading some of the hogwash, then get it from that. Fat. You know what I mean. As simple as ABC. We got a right to be happy in Christ. All right, see all those prophetic prophecies. Look quickly, the scripture identified him. Not in their books it didn't. Ha! And a handful of others. When they said, who are you? Are you Messiah? He said, no, sir, I'm not Messiah. Are you Jeremiah? No, I'm not one of the prophets. He said, I'm not, but I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, as saith the prophet Isaiah. Who is William Branham? Part of Malachi 4, part of Malachi 3. He was the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now, did those folk believe John? They didn't believe John, no. No. First, they had their own ideas about him. And they said, who are you anyway? You got to be the Messiah. He said, no way, I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget it. William Branham said the same thing. They said, well, look, you're identified as the prophets. Which one are you back here in the spirit of? Could be Elijah. Or could be rather Isaiah. Could be Jeremiah. Could be that. Now, listen, they had a choice of Elijah, but they turned that down flat. You know why? Because John didn't do any miracles. That really threw him for a loop right there. He didn't come storming on the scene doing a lot of miracles. Well, they say, well, if you're Elijah, and Elijah was the one that had the spirit of Elijah, and he did twice as much as Elijah, and you're the third one, you got to do three times as much. Oh, they had it all reasoned out. They said, all right, now you got to be this. And you know what? When he told them who he was, they walked off. What about William Branham? As soon as he identified himself, like John the Baptist, he had a handful that stayed with him. Poor old John, he was really left alone. Three or four people, half a dozen at most. If he had that many, man of man. But William Branham identified himself. A lot of people dropped off the Pentecostals, and then those who were around him, they identified and they said, well, he's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not Jesus Christ. Now, if you can't believe the man that's talking to you, tell you who he is, then how can you believe what he says? Well, you know, there's something all cooped up there. They're sure not us. I can tell you that right now. He said, no, I'm not. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. As the prophet Isaiah said, I'm unidentifying myself, like Malachi said. Do you think they believe that? No, sir. Why? He didn't come through their church. That's why. See, he went in the wilderness at the age of 9 years old and came out at the age of 30. Now, his message was too great to go through a school of theology. Why? He'd be wasting his time. How could the school of theology give a revelation of this? They didn't have it to give it. Any more than they have, like you and I got salvation to give somebody. You and I cannot give a revelation. We cannot give anything that pertains to God. God himself gives it. But he ordains vessels to witness to it. To sow a seed. To water a seed and so on. Message was too great. See? just like Paul. First of all, God had to knock Paul down and literally beat the brains out of his head. Paul wasn't too sad because he had just dung anyway. Not only had bad breath, he had smelly brains. So much for Paul the Apostle. He knew it. He admitted it. He wasn't puffed up like these other fellas. No, he wasn't at all puffed up. Yet he was a brain. He was brilliant. He was the theologian of top order, and he was right next to Gamaliel, evidently. He was trusted. He was sincere. He was on fire. He had a life, everything to back it, according to tradition. But according to God, he was a miscreant and a destroyer of the very plan and purpose of Almighty God that lasts for eternity. He was a mess. He stunk. Stank, stunk, what's the difference? Paul was wrong. God took him out in the desert. Took everything out of him. The pillar of fire blinded him, showed him how blind he really was. A true revelation will just show you how smart you ain't.
Amen.
Not how smart you are. See? No way. Just one word off, see? That's why they have to come to a prophet. I don't care how close people are. Close doesn't count. It's only oneness with God. See? Okay. His message was too great. He was the one to introduce the Messiah. Certainly. Introduce, that means to make known the unknown, or to unveil the veiled God, who is now there veiled in human flesh and needed to be introduced to the people to whom he had come. He was to introduce Messiah. He was the one to introduce Messiah, and everybody would be pulling this way and that way. That's right. They had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes and rebel split groups that fought Rome. Today we've got organizations that fight each other, the same as those groups back there did. See? And God sent him in the wilderness after the death of his father, Zechariah. So in other words, he didn't have a chance to get caught up in the creeds of the Pharisees and the ministry. He was a priest, but he never followed the line of his father. And that's good, because you'll never find that the ministries of God is a family affair. Now, his son could be a preacher like his dad and so on, once in a blue moon. But normally it spells trouble. It doesn't pass on by blood, passed on by the will of God, although blood could enter in the odd time. All right, because prophets don't come out of such things as that. Come out of what? Schools? Lines? Theology and so on? They come from the rugged lands, the wilderness. No man knows where they come from or how they arise in the scene or any of their history. They just come right out and preach the word, and God takes them off. Now notice, God taking them off means death. And away they go, condemns that generation, moves on into his word, waiting for the great day. All right? Who knew anything about William Branham? Knew very little. See? Now notice, he said God takes them off and condemns the generation. So therefore, after the prophet is gone, comes condemnation. Right? Right. Now, the church did not get in that, condemns the generation and moves on into his word, waiting for the great day. The church did not believe him because he was not known of them. It's exactly true. They had no record of his ordination in their books. He wasn't ordained, see? So therefore, they refused him. See, they didn't believe God's vindicated word plainly letter by letter. See, Malachi 3, two scriptures to vindicate a man. Malachi 3 and Isaiah 40 and 3. Well, certainly they didn't believe the vindication of two scriptures. They didn't believe the vindication of Christ with dozens of scriptures. The world's not going to believe the amount of scripture anyway. Let's face it. Come on. You can snow anybody with scripture. That doesn't mean they're going to believe. And I'm going to tell you, the more you bombard and the more people you into this message by bulldozing, the worse the message is going to be. Because you've got just a bunch of people that don't have an understanding anyway. I tell you, I have seen bulldozing tactics. I used them once, and I would to God I never used them. I just met the guy on his own ground. I knew what he was. So he was a bulldozer, so I bulldozed him. I just went slam, bang, bang, and had him all crippled up in the corner in no time at all. Stupidest thing he ever did. Never do it again. The man had already walked off once with Brother Branham during the seal, said, "That can't be God." He said, "Well, what if the man makes out? That's up to him and God. But I shouldn't have tried to make out, because that's God's business. Tell a person something, sure, be nice about it, kind about it, explain it. But bulldozing, no. Overwhelming with a plethora of words is not the answer. It's not the answer to inundate a man and drown him in words. Drown him in theology. Making him up, gasping to believe your way. Forget it. Let me assure you, brother, sister, we do not hold people under the water in baptism and say, "I believe Brother Branham's message." You go under the water because you think you believe and you want to believe. So the bubbles come up, you know. That's strange, but it may be humorous, but it's just the way, look at it, it can't be done, brother, and such to be a God. You can't do it. I'm guilty on that one case. He was to be a prophet, I'll send you Elijah. And there he was in every rugged way. Watch how his nature blended with Elijah. And Elijah was a man of the wilderness, so was John, the outdoors. He wasn't a smooth man, he was a rugged man. Now, his nature and style of life, absolutely, was in his preaching and his mode of living, his pleasures and everything else. That's true. But you know, people will not accept that. Because they say, well, that guy is identifying himself on personal characteristics and traits, and you can find anything in the Bible, so forget it. They say, well, should we believe Samson then? There's a lot of guys running with other women. See, you can't... This thing of believing is in you to believe right, to receive it, or forget it. As Brother Branham said, you either had a representation there in the beginning, or you don't have one now. Now, I know those are tough words to say, but I believe in the prophet. Because we cannot explain. You say, what are you preaching for then? Merely to encourage your faith in mind, that's all. To keep us ever in mind of what's going on, because pretty soon there's got to be a change. Now, he said, notice again, Elijah was a woman hater. Told Jezebel all about her paint, where she'd get on and off at. So was John. Jezebel tried to kill Elijah, swore by her God she'd take his head off him, and so did Herodias. See? Now he's laying the groundwork for his own ministry. Now William Branham was not a woman hater. He just hated a lot of the things the women did. Now I want to just tell you something. I know women get offended, and I've been offended with them for what Brother Branham said. And I used to get really bugged at one time about Brother Branham saying, now women present themselves to men. Until within the last 2 weeks, I suddenly realized Eve presented herself to Adam. And that's where it all started. Now, I'm not saying women are this or that, but I've known for a long time that women are just as bad as men, if not worse, because I've seen their own daughter, and I've seen other people's daughters. They run down to where little Johnny B is, and that could be Bennett or Bose or anything else, they just haven't picked that out of the air, down to the gas station where he's pumping gas. And the nice little girls, 11, 12, 13, they'll all run down and grin and shimmy around. Now, what are they doing? They're presenting themselves. Now, I'm not running down women down. I'm just telling you, listen, let's understand nature. Brother Branham was right.
Amen.
He was right. See? It's the same as when he said, all children are born of sexual desire. That's true. How much a woman hungers and thirsts after a child, that's true. Her nature is that she to bear children, so therefore, that's her capacity, that's her nature, she'll want children. But you say, all right now, my husband is sterile, so I'm going to just get a donor. Well, what made him ejaculate? I'm very plain, very crude maybe, but there's no time to be, you know, be nice and beautiful and gentle. I don't care who's young here and who's not here. I'll talk to your kids or talk to you face to face. Get this thing down flat. God's against these things. Paul said women are shamefaced. That doesn't mean they go around full of shame. Fat. You're proud you're a daughter of Jesus Christ. Happy in God. Wear your hair whichever way you want to do, as long as you don't look, you know, crazy. As long as it's long. See, the idea is just keep the hair long. Those things, don't snip them off. That's against Almighty God. See, just smarten up and know these things before God. Know your natures and know these things, brother, sister. The prophet laid it all out. It's like old Dr. Bell said, his son-in-law quoted him. He said, look, he said, I want to tell you, you want to learn about sex, you don't have to read some dirty old sex book, read your Bible. He said, this. It'll tell you the truth. Old Dr. Bell. So all these things the prophet brought out here, and people must watch them. See, and Brother Branham was not a woman hater. If he was, how did he love his wife? How did he speak so tenderly of hope? A man that would hate women and talk about his first wife? The way he talked about her, you'd have to be sick, weird, insane, and perverted. Literally homicidal and God knows what, prejudiced to the core. The man knew love as few men will ever know love. I've often said this, and I'll stick with it, that every woman wishes that her husband was a Brother Branham. And every man has to admit he wishes he was too. The gentleness and the love and the consideration and the kindness. He was of the old school that opened every door for a lady, tipped his hat and walked softly. Was a gentleman, but hated sin. And he knew where sin lay in the beauty and the glamour. We got to admire Brother Branham. Elijah was the same way. He didn't go around hating women. But I tell you what, if it came to tearing their ways up, don't think he didn't tear the way of men up. Turn right around. Put them on the spot. Obviously, I said it takes two to tango. Don't criticize women. I've been for women's rights in the sense of the true Christian woman in the church, not out here in the world. Her rights drive me crazy out there. As well as her driving drives me crazy out there. I ain't going to say what Brother Branham said. Well, he did tell you on tape that 90% of the boo-boos in 96 were committed by women drivers. I know, well, women are getting to be good drivers. Slave drivers, men drivers, truck drivers. You got to forgive me. I just throw it in to kind of ease the tension. I don't want any woman here thinking I'm against women. I'm not. But you got to place it where the prophet placed it. And you see it come, begins to come out. And then you understand. And you, with the understanding, you begin to move forward. Nobody's here to hurt anybody. Look, just to keep our hands out of the meat grinder I'm talking about. The world's got a mighty big meat grinder out there. And we've got mighty small hands. You lose one, it's gone. You know, you cut your finger off, they might sew it back on. But you put it in the meat grinder. Goodbye, Charlie. But feed it to the dogs. See, now watch their messages. Watch what they did. Now we find out that that's paragraph 98, that if they would have looked back and seen what the Bible said and watched the nature of the man and how perfect he was in the time with the scripture and everything, they ought to have known that that was he. Now what's he telling you? The historical parts of the Bible shed great light. Because it never changes. What was the man like back there? Never mind the miracles. What was he like per se? That would have pegged John the Baptist. See? Who knew where Elijah came from? Elijah the Tishbite. Tishbite, Shmishbite. What's a Tishbite? I don't know. You don't know. Where's the history on it? Nobody knows. Then what's all this history bunk you got to know? What seminary? What this? What that? Now, John didn't do miracles. Nobody knew where he came from exactly. They'd all forgotten concerning the fact of his birth and the dedication and Zechariah and all the rest of it. They forgot what Simeon said and Anna said. They forgot even about the three wise men and the slaying of hundreds of children under two years of age. How can you forget that? They forgot it. They forgot the parallel with Moses' day. That's what the psalmist said. God speaking to the psalmist. He did wonderful works. Led them through the plains of Zoan. He led them through the Red Sea. Gave them manna. Then forgot they his wonderful works and went on to the prostitution of idolatry. That's what Israel did. We're doing the same thing right now. We forget his wonderful works. Look in the Word of God and find his works. So I don't think I can do that because it might be different. Then you don't even know God because he never changes. This is the one thing you rely upon. Elijah's spirit remains Elijah's spirit. And it gets rougher as the time goes on. Elijah came on the scene condemning what was wrong. Elijah came on the scene and condemned little children with their rattiness. So you call me old ballhead. You make a sneer of what I know to be true. I saw him go up. I know, he said, I saw the pillar of fire come down. You may be just kids. Your little snakes make big snakes. They were killed. Angry prophet. Now what then will John the Baptist be? Go up to Philip, the old king, he was a heretic. He said, you got Philip's wife, stick his finger in his nose. He said, you know, he said, you're living in adultery. You say that to the top man? I got it from some of the best authority in the world that a certain great lady evangelist, you all know what I'm talking about, on the West Coast. She smarted off with Randolph Hearst and she said, look, she said, you got your girlfriends, I can have my boyfriends. He just whirled on his heel and left her. He never saw her again. To my knowledge, if he did, he just literally spit in her face to do it, I guess. And the next day, his paper blasted her, one in America and the other. What do you think that guy did concerning John the Baptist when he had the chance? He's that two-bit jerk. That's why they came to Israel. Jesus came to Jesus and said, can a man divorce his wife for any cause? Hillel taught that. Now, if your wife one day woke up and her eye were glued together, maybe one of the eyes glued together because she looked cold in the eyes, she looked kind of funny, you could divorce her. Yeah, I'm not Glenn. You can get rid of her. So they came and said, can we get rid of these women for any cause? Now, any man that would do that to a woman, he's got to be... He ain't no man. He's a scumbum. And all he did want was sex and little care and this and that. You talk about a horse's neck. Why should I insult a poor horse? Got a lovely neck. Be beautiful mane on her. So much for man. So he said, we can get divorced women and get anyone we want. That's what they're doing. So that's exactly why they said to Jesus, can a man divorce his wife for any cause? He said, no, not for any cause. That's why the prophet said, the main thing today is not that can we divorce for any cause? It's always two causes. All right, he or she is dead, we can get married again. He or she can get a doctor, we can get married again. He said, hold it, both will put you in the ditch. And he came back to the one cause that Jesus gave, the really one cause, fornication before marriage. So why then did Moses give the bill of divorce? Because of the hardness of heart. And Brother Van said, you couldn't live with him in the first place, then don't try to live in the second place, right? I don't have the answer to marriage and divorce. All I know is this. If you want a divorce and get married, you are on your own. I will not condemn you, but you had better know it is from God. Because later on, no, he's coming to me and say, well, Brother Vail, because I can't get in your boots and tell you nothing. I can't tell you a thing. And if I could, I wouldn't. Because I don't know that I really would know. Why? So I'm no prophet. All right, you see it here? Now, John came and he brought a lot of questions up. He answered them right off the cuff. Now, he said here, watch the nature of man. You ought to know who he was. Now, this is the time of Elijah, the spirit of Elijah. All we got to do is to study Elijah and Elisha and John, and we'll come up with an answer. What did that man be like? Tougher than hobnailed boots when it comes to standing for the word of God. But he will not run over anybody. But neither will anybody run over him. He will not join up, nor will he be joined to. Because he's not here to make an organization. He'll leave you in the arms of Christ, safe and secure. The unknown, about a half a dozen knew it. Knew who John was, that's right. Not over a half a dozen realized it. They went to hear him but didn't believe it. See why? They did not believe the identification of the prophecy of their hour. They didn't believe it. All that was told about him had gone into the discard. How could people have forgotten? Well, I tell you what. I talked to a man the other day. Real sweet guy. He's a real nice fellow. He's a preacher. Met him down there in Dayton. And I believe he's got something on the ball. He's charismatic, but he is different from the charismatics. He never heard of Brother Branham. But he knew this Sons of God bit was a bunch of tripe. You know? Because they were trying to go past the Bible. And I didn't recognize the name of the man that he told me. But after I got home, going to bed, I remembered the name of that man. I said, I knew right away who he is. So when I see Vince, I'll have to talk to him and say, hey, I'm sorry, but I do know that man. I know him personally, and I'm with you. The guy is plumb out of his boondocks. He's not even in the boondocks. He's plumb in the periphery, up there in the periphery somewhere, floating in space. Because you see, your sons of God don't need the Bible anymore. Fact, if we ever needed the Bible, we need it now. Because there's so much confusion. It's not even horse sense nor jackass sense. It's pure, unadulterated insanity what's going on. It is too. Because there's only one sane mind, and that's the mind of this word, brother, sister. And that's the mind of God. And we can never accuse ourselves of being sane. That makes God insane. But we know we are insane, so therefore God is sane. And we get his mind, we become sane. And we become sanitary also. Because out of the heart, you know, if that's not in there, you're a pretty messed up condition. We all are. Now, they did not want to hear him because they didn't believe it. See? Why? They did not believe the identification of the prophecy of this hour. But who would know except their true revealer of the word come back? He said, why wouldn't they know? Because we're so different from this book. Unless there's something of this book in us, there's no such thing as a matchup. It's a transfusion. When the type of blood is wrong, you'll die. Or get excited. Or sick. It's got to have the same blood. The same life. That's the spirit. You had to have that in your soul. Or you never would have reached out. Notice they all laughed at him. Calling him some screaming, wild, unlearned fanatic with no schooling. And hit hating totem to carry fetch. John never said that. That's a southern Kentuckian. Who's he talking about? The fourth. Elijah. As usual, they judge him by his education. They judge him by his grammar. By the way he dressed. John wore a piece of sheepskin around him, had a camel skin belt. He was all hairy. Well, at least he had pretty good protection out there in the briars. Why knock it? Well, people knock anything. They're just ready to pick on anything. They don't care as long as they pick on it. You disagree, they'll pick on it, see? Walking out in the waters, no church, no pew, no corporation. They couldn't accept that. They were worshiping the God of the world. Yes, they were worshiping more than that, the God of their imaginations. the God of their own creation, what they were doing. People say, well, you know, it's terrible that those heathen out there, they're so stupid that they think that thing that they carved with their hand or that goat out there is a god. They're not half as stupid as we are, who create our own gods of our own imagination. Because they'll not receive near the condemnation we receive, because the greater the knowledge, the greater the condemnation, brothers, that's true. The greater you know, the greater you have, the greater responsibility, and then the greater the responsibility, the greater the judgment. That's Bible, you know it as well as I do. I don't mean to say now there's not false prophets that come out like Jannes and Jambres. Now why does Brother Branham throw that in there? Because he wants you to know there are men who can be vindicated that are wrong even though they're vindicated in the eyes of the people. In other words, God appearing in signs and wonders. But not God appearing in the word that says, thus saith the Lord. You see, there's a true vindication of Hebrews 13 and 8, which does not come in Mark 16 and in 1 Corinthians the 12th chapter, no way, shape, and form. Now, but the way you want to do is to check the original message by the word. Then you got it. What age it's in and what's prophesied for that age. Now notice, John didn't know miracles. But he was an Elijah. And Elijah did miracles. So it depends on the age. Does the age call for miracles? Well, the point is how do you know? When the person comes on the scene and identifies himself, see how far he goes with what he's got. Then if he's got something like William Branham, I challenge you, bring me your worst case, I guarantee healing. You better prick your ears up and listen. Because whatever this guy's got is worth looking into. Then you got to come to one place. What authority and what source does it come from? Now there's only two real sources, God and the devil. Now that makes it beautiful. Now we got a chance of getting to God or going to hell forever. Beautiful. It was down to 50-50. One choice does it. Come on, you fence sitters. In the building or on the tape or any place else to get a hold of this tape, I care less. We've just put this right on the barrel head. Yes, sir. We're not down here at the ground round, you know, picking all the peanuts and popcorn out of a popcorn barrel and in a peanut barrel, having fun with it. We're right down to the line where it says, which way are you going to go with this question? Y'all have a handful of peanuts now and a handful of quick handful of answers. It's just one question. Where did the authority of William Branham come from? Well, somebody wants to be really nice. And he said, well, Brother Vail, I know in the beginning it came from God. But you see, Brother Branham got swell-headed. Now that makes God quite a fool. Did he can't pick a man better than that? There's something wrong with even Nebuchadnezzar, who said God ruleth in the arms of the earth and doeth whatever he will. Here's a heathen king that turned Christian. Amen. Had a better answer than these theologians, these Pentecostal wiseacres.
Amen.
No, it's still one question. Where did it come from? Now, if you say from God, you better know it's from God. You better have some authentication for yourself. Because, kiddo, you can be fooled like anybody else can be fooled. And prophets can be fooled. There's only a certain type that cannot be fooled. That's where your Jannes and Jambres come in. That's where your Balaam comes in. That's where Korah, Dathan, and Abiram come in. And that's where in the time of the kings, a certain prophet came down, and if God said, don't you dare eat in this person's house, don't you dare do anything, I want you to go down there, and I forget all the details, and then you go right home, and when the great thing was done by this prophet, another prophet came forward. He said, sir, I'm a prophet too. And that bird didn't listen to him the right way and said, show me you're a prophet. He said, God just spoke to me and said, hey, he changed his mind. You can come and have dinner with me. And so as he had dinner, the prophet that invited him got him the real good boy, and he wasn't too great. Misled, he said, you're going to die for disobeying God. Now here's this poor old boy, goes down the road of line and gets him. Neither one of those fellows had the word. They just had a little word in the Lord, little thing going to happen. This man is dealing in introduction of Messiah, revealing scripture that paves the way for you and me, that's going to get us to him, that shows we're away from him. How did he get away? We booted him out. Oh, see, I didn't do that. Oh, yes, you did, honey. I'm sorry. You booed him out. I did, too. How did we boot him out? By refusing the word. By not having the word. And then he knocked at the door and said, I stand at the door and knock. What was that knock? Oh, signs, wonders, miracles. Everything to attract us. Everything to get our attention, to curry favor. To make us look on this thing, like Moses at the burning bush. You think my eyes didn't bug the time that microphone cord is wrapped around him two or three times, and suddenly there it was by his feet? Bug. Why, if you'd had a stick, you could knock my eyeballs off, like you knock beetle bugs off a potato land. I rejoiced, though. It was getting better and better and gooder, hotter and hotter, sweeter and sweeter. Sure it is. If you let yourself go, the waters to swim in, they'll take you over. Now, if you want to dog paddle and fight the current, forget it. You ain't going to get over it. Just waters to take you over. I never learned to swim. Praise God, they're going to carry me over. Oh, hallelujah. You see, we got it made. She did this. We got it made. Yes, sir. Yeah, never mind the Jannas and Jambers. They're going to be there. Matthew 24. But you can't have a false unless there's a true. And this man I was talking to down in Dayton, he said, you know, he said, the Baptists and them, they don't believe in prophets. And they said, they warned me and said there could be false prophets. He said, but how could you have a false unless it was a true? I said, no, you got it. And I talked about William Branham, a true prophet. Or maybe later again, I don't know. I may look him up. Might be just wasting my time. I know I didn't feel led to go to that camp meeting, but I'm not against it. I just couldn't go. I wouldn't have anything to say except what I'm saying now. But we'll see what happens. God's bigger than I am. And I'm not against what God wants me to do. Maybe I'm just too careful. Okay. When John's prophecy was vindicated in God's own order. Now watch. John's prophecy was vindicated in God's own order. Now what was John's prophecy? I'm forerunning him. He's out amongst you. You don't know him. I can't see him. I don't know if he's here, but I will know when he comes. And I'll be doing it by baptizing. And there'll be a pillar of fire come down like a dove sitting on him and resting upon him. That's the one. I said, I'll know and I'll tell you. Watch out perfectly. The Bible said the word of the Lord come to the prophet. Now Jesus was the word. And John was prophesying of the coming of the word for fulfillment. And Jesus the word came to the prophet in the water. Now William Branham was in the water. And the word of fulfillment of this hour is he must appear before he comes. Right? So what was William Branham's entire message? Appearing. My message is to declare that he is here. Spokane, this is my ministry, to declare that he is here. The word declare in the Greek means to lead forth. It's the word exegesis. To lead it forth, to show it in words, to present it. My job, he said, is to preach it into plain view. So that by your hearing, you see it in plain view. All right, the word. The Logos came. Oh, how beautiful. How unfailing it is. See, the word was a scarce thing in that day. What about today? Perish for lack of knowledge. Here come the prophets saying, I am the voice of the word. Not a man preaching a sermon, the literal voice of Logos. Why? Because we can't see Logos. We could have seen the Logos in human form if he was here. One day we will see him in human form. The closer to human form we see is the prophet. God to the people, but he is not God. That's not that he's understood. Paul said, we're legates, we're delegates, we're ambassadors. Anybody understands that? Authoritative, as Brother Pete was talking the other day. That's the authority. Not the person, but the authority from that person is what Paul's talking about when he said, I'm an ambassador. I've got the word for you. But it wasn't Paul's word. The messenger comes. The herald on the horse toots his horn. They let down the drawbridge. He comes in screaming before the king. He said, this is the message, O great one. Jumps on his horse. Away, he's gone again. You say, doesn't he explain the message? He doesn't have to. He just gives the message. Most of us are little heralds, little knights, running around. We don't have to explain a lot of things. Prophet is the one that brought the explanation. God used that great man. Now we can do a little better with our testimony. We used to. I'm the voice of the word. Brother Ban said, I was just the voice of one standing there. Certainly. That's exactly right. Okay. God came right behind John the Baptist and proved him right. He sure did. He said, John testified, right? Well, what about you boys? You notice how I line with the word. I'm doing everything. And he said, notice and watch this. I am that prophet. Oh, they said, if you're that prophet, you will say what we say. because we're children of Abraham. We've had a long time in getting here to get what we got. Well, we've got to be right. You know, the church is saying the same thing. You know, people run around today, Dr. Carroll, a fine, beautiful Baptist brother, wrote good things. Then he wrote this crazy little book, How the Baptists Never Were Protestants. They came right from John the Baptist. Hogwash. And that hog is at least, oh, God, 2,000 years old almost. And 25,000 miles around the equator. That's Catholic dogma, apostolic succession. He'd have to prove that he was the son of John the Baptist. John the Baptist never married. You talk about insanity. Then they try to say the Catholics are crazy. Oh, Brother Joe, you ain't heard nothing like this. Because even the Catholics will vote somebody in, these guys vote themselves in. Oh, Protestants. You got no more protest in you than a flat tire has. Died on the job. Lord have pity. True. I'm the voice of the word. Now, and then Brother Branham revealed it. Okay. Perfect for today. Okay. We got just a couple of minutes. We got to get out of here because I think my time's here. Said, I'm not worthy. No, what must we do? He said to John. That's like a marriage divorce. What about marriage and divorce? What's right? Questions, questions, questions. Blessed is the man who can shut his mouth and listen. You know why? Because as long as you ask questions, while somebody's talking, it means you're not listening to what they're saying, and you'll never get it. That's why you listen to tapes carefully. Listen carefully. Keep your mind abreast with what's going on. Said, I'm not worthy to loose his shoes, but there's one standing among you somewhere. He'll be the one that baptized you with Holy Ghost and fire. Notice now what he said. He said, he's here, and he, though not now, will be baptizing with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's to cleanse your plumb out and fill you. Now watch the next thing. His fan is in his hand, he'll thoroughly purge his floor and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire and take the grain to garner. Now that's way down the road. Now, he doesn't set his foot here to separate. No, 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 no. Matthew 24, Luke 17, he is not here to separate. They're already separated before they're taken into the garner. So this is the appearing. What is he? As judge with a fan in his hand, he's separating now. It'll soon be over. For the wheat is lying in the presence of the S-O-N. And the same chaff in that same presence is getting brittle. And we're getting brittle too. Because we don't take nothing from nobody. He comes to his message, do what you want, we're going on. You believe what you want? Hallelujah, be my guest. I've got no time to fuss and fight. Moving on with Jesus. We're over popping at the snakes. I'm not calling people snakes. I'm using the illustration Brother Branham. He's climbing here. No longer popping at those snakes that pop at us. Just walk on. If you want to pop something, pop corn. Won't pop snakes. And where's your time, Brother Sitcher? Say, have a good time at home. Put the popcorn popper on. Fill it full of good butter and get that. That's good. That's the way to do it. Take the Word of God. Get red hot. Read it. Let the Holy Spirit anoint it with the oil of God, the joy of the Lord. You just eat yourself full. Sure, fans in his hand. Take the grain to the garner. That Spirit's amongst us, takes us up there. Oh, what a prophet. Jesus said there never was a man born of woman great as he was to that day. That's exactly right. See? Oh, how blustrous. That's, I think, how illustrious he means. Blustrous is a good word, though. How he knew where he was standing. He knew exactly. He had heard from God. It was exactly with the Word, so he didn't care what people said. He preached and prophesied it anyhow. And watch, when a man stands for what is truth, then God's obligated to vindicate that man the truth. God's obligated. What's he saying? The next showdown is Mount Zion. God's obligated to take us in the rapture.
Amen.
Obligated. You say, well, maybe Brother Vail, don't maybe me, this is the prophet said it. What's he talking about? The fat in the hand, the purging of the floor, gathering wheat in the garner. And he said, to believe it, that makes you a believer. To receive it, you're a believer. And he screams out righteousness, the Holy Ghost. I got that quote enough. Yeah. He said, now having it through the scriptures, see the perfect continuity of scriptures, here we live in it, the mysteries of of the one baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, away from one society and these other things, how the Holy Spirit has moved that in, showed it perfectly, and the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, the token, everything placed it, and how he placed every reformer, everything just exactly, see, right before us, that's the seals. And it's not in a corner, it's known, the world known. Jesus, the Son of God, revealing himself by the Scriptures, making that Scripture that has been predestined to this day, like it was to that day and all the days lived, and to believe it is the evidence of the Holy Spirit righteousness. How did it come through a prophet? Vindicated. That makes you bride, brother, sister. Well, everybody got other ideas. Let them have their ideas. Welcome to them. If I fight this, I fight God. Now let's wait and find out who's right. Mount Zion. That's where Brother Branham said, just love each other. No use, no use fighting. These folk, you know, they thought they knew the Bible. Search the Scripture and see. Did they go back to the time of Genesis? No. Will we go back to Genesis? Only those who believe this message were taken back by the prophet. Nobody will go back to Genesis 18 and link it up with Luke 17. Nobody will do that. Who wants to read Acts the 8th chapter? Not the man. No, Neo Prince. Here, there is a picture right there. That's a veil. Oh, they say, you've got to be crazy. Well, praise God, I'm crazy. I'm happy to be crazy. Just wish I was a little crazier, and then be much happier still. Sure, no problem there. If they want to fight about that, that's their business. When Moses come down there in Egypt and said, I was in the wilderness yonder, and I saw a tree on fire, it didn't consume. I went to the tree, and when I did, there a great pillar of fire hanging in there. And a voice said, I am that I am. And he told me to take this stick and come down here and perform these miracles. And God will vindicate his word. Now I'm going to tell you something. When the word was, whatever said that, and that was vindicated, you better listen. He stretched out his stick and there come fleas and flies and darkness and so forth. Then to vindicate that prophet, he brought those believers right back to the mount. And God came down in the same pillar of fire, right in the same mount, and proved that it was right. And he said, that is the same evidence that they saw there. Now somebody could say, well, I don't believe that. Well, don't have to believe it. Be my guest. But God says, you'll never see the pillar of fire again. You'll see a prophet.
Amen.
Now he comes right behind and lets the camera take the picture. Lets the camera take that picture. There's the judge. Oh, they say, you people are superstitious. Well, praise God for superstition. I'm a superstition Christian. I'm good today. At least my superstition is based on vindication. What's yours based on? Well, with me this morning, you're based on the same thing. If superstition can produce this, give us more superstitious people, oh God. I've missed my superstitious friend for 20 years. If hypnotism does it, oh God, give us more men of hypnotism like Brother Branham. Somebody's wrong. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness is to believe it. See, people run true to form, brother, sister. Events make clear by prophecy. The events are right there. Everything tells you what's going on, and nobody wants to believe it. And those that say they do, in many cases, just stop short. God help us to not stop short, but to go all the way. Time's run. It's almost 12:30. Didn't mean to keep you this long, but that means another long session later down the road. What's going to be on next Saturday night? I don't know. Just maybe a little regular sermon to kind of bring communion. But I don't know. But remember, there's going to be a Labor Day Saturday night. Start song service at a quarter to seven. I don't think there'll be people working that day. And so we get out early. Sunday carry and dinner. We appreciate everybody getting together on that. The ladies can talk to each other and figure out what you want to bring. Next week, don't forget the vote. We want to settle the issue once and for all so we can proceed quickly now with completely doing everything together, working together 100%, hopefully with the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit, knowing if we in this word, that will be what it is. All these things we want to work out as we go down the road, you know, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, winning all the souls we can. Who knows what lies ahead? Well, there's a rapture coming, brother, sister. If I read my directions right from God, who gave unto a vindicated prophet, what we believe is the answer to the whole thing. It's not what you think, not what you do, it's what you believe. But out of your believing will come your thinking, and will come your doing. And strange to say, the people will not want it. They won't want it any more than they wanted Jesus. And he said, if they didn't want me, and I'm the right one. I haven't sinned or done one thing off color. They're not going to receive you because they already know you. They know I'm perfect, but they know you're imperfect, right? How are they going to believe? They're not going to unless they got representation there in the first place, brother, sister, unless they're ordained. Thank God for the scriptures that he gave on predestination. Let the world hate it. Let it be repudiated. Thank God. I told you, 2 years ago, Thanksgiving down there in Memphis. That was the first thing they rejoiced in heaven about, was the predestinating plan of Almighty God. We're ready for another Thanksgiving. I hope we get out of here before then. Let's rise. Lord, love you. Lord, bless you. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again for your love, mercy, and grace that you bestowed upon us, O God. We know, Lord, that we're not what we ought to be, and we're not what we're going to be, but praise God, we're not what we used to be. We understand that and know it, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, that you love us in spite of ourselves, and we love you in spite of ourselves, because in us, Lord, there isn't any good thing. We know that you loved us first, then we loved you, and we know that love does respond, Father. We know that. That's why it's such a great cure to power. Father, fill our hearts with love by the Holy Ghost. Lead us as lambs, led by the dove of Almighty God. Fill us with thy meekness, thy tenderness, thy great compassion, Lord, that we take a strong stand for your word. Let us never take a strong stand against any man or anything else. But, Lord, there is no limit to standing with your word. It means even unto death. Loving not our lives unto death. Dying like Paul and Peter, heretics in the minds of those who couldn't understand. They worship you, Lord, according to a word. Not a tradition, but according to word. Lord, let us worship you in spirit and in truth. That's what you seek. And you only seek sheep, Lord. So therefore we know you sought us, you bought us, you brought us. And we're here, Lord, because of truth. May we never offend you in it, Lord, or offend, and we don't say anybody else, because we know we're going to offend people because of what we believe, Lord. They won't believe like we believe. But Lord, may we never offend you, but always just stand there with the strength of God in the meekness and the love of God as witnesses, true witnesses, reflecting our blessed Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, until we meet you in your incarnation, your reincarnation, see you face to face. We're happy that we see you face to face at this time by your word. The veils and the creeds all ripped aside, and we're going to be changed into your image because you said so. We're standing on it, Lord, the best we know how, Father. And until we know better, and it's got to come from you, we stand this way expecting more. In the name of Jesus Christ, we plead our expectations of grace. Amen and amen. Let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you.